Even before yesterday's election, Alaska was assured of new faces in the legislature as redistricting pitted incumbents against one another. But that was just the beginning of the changes. Good morning, I'm Steve Heimel. As usual, Alaska went overwhelmingly Republican for president, and only one statewide office was in contest. Republican Congressman Don Young had no trouble defeating Democrat Sharon Cisna and will go on to pass Ted Stevens' record of 40 years representing Alaska. With the defeat of Mitt Romney and no prospect of taking the Senate, Young and other Republicans will now quickly go into a lame duck session to deal, at least temporarily, with the long-standing budget standoff. APRN's Peter Granitz tells us more.
There was chatter in Washington that if Republicans captured control of the Senate, Congress would not have returned to D.C. for a lame duck session at all. They didn't win the upper chamber, and Congress should be back to work the day after Veterans Day. Members have until the end of the year to agree on a deficit reduction plan or face across-the-board spending cuts, combined with tax increases for virtually everyone. Senator Lisa Murkowski says Congress is more likely to pass a framework plan instead of hashing out details.
At this point in time, recognizing how much we've really got to address within literally a 4 to 5 week period, it's considerable. And as much as I think we would like to be able to address it, I want to make sure that we put in place good, sound policy, not just a policy to get us through the end of the calendar year. We got to do this right.
Congress would have to pass a law delaying the effective date of the cuts and tax increases. The assumption is that would coincide with the outline of a plan. Congressman Don Young echoes Senator Murkowski.
If I have my prediction, I think they will kick the can down the road and everything.
Both Senator Murkowski and Congressman Young say their caucuses are already deciding how to strategize for the looming fight. In Anchorage, I'm Peter Granitz.
Redistricting means the faster-growing parts of the state gain legislative seats, less populous parts end up with large districts. In Southeast, this meant the end for Democratic Senator Albert Kukesh, who was in the same district with Bert Stedman of Sitka and lost. It wasn't even close. Stedman got 64% of the vote. Both were in the bipartisan leadership coalition, which took some other hits as well, and some apparent near misses. In the Fairbanks area, minority member John Coghill faced Democrat Joe Thomas and emerged with 52.7% of the vote. Coghill has no interest in joining with Democrats.
Now, I've worked in coalitions down through the years. I just like him to be as conservative as I can possibly get him and at a place where I can play with some degree of authority.
Also in Fairbanks, conservative Republican Pete Kelly defeated Democrat Joe Pascvan. And down in Anchorage, Republican minority member Kathy Giesel fended off a challenge from independent Ron Devon. On the east side of town, Republican Anna Faircloth was the victor in Democrat Betty Davis's district, considerably changed from the one she originally ran in. KSKA's Daisha Eaton tells us more.
Outgoing Senator Betty Davis served in the legislature for more than a decade. Davis will be remembered for her work in the Senate on Denali KidCare, a state-run children's health insurance program for low-income families, as well as her efforts to improve health care and education. She says the one thing she regrets is not achieving long-term forward funding for schools. Because of redistricting, Davis ran in a district that included a lot of new territory. It contained less of East Anchorage, which she considered a stronghold, and added some of Eagle River, which tends to lean more conservative. Davis draws a direct connection between her loss and redistricting.
Well, it had everything to do with the outcome of this race. If I had my old district, she wouldn't have beat me. The redistricting really was done, or deliberately done, to make that a Republican seat, and they have succeeded.
Her competitor, Anna Faircloth, says she did have an advantage because of redistricting.
I certainly had a significant advantage coming in from the Eagle River area, being paired with another district. I've been elected there for 14 years. I served actually in a larger number of people when I was on the Anchorage Assembly for 7 years. So the people in Eagle River, all of them knew who I was.
After representing Eagle River on the Assembly, Fairclough was elected in Eagle River's District 17 in the House. One of her accomplishments was the Alaska Children's Trust Bill, which set up a fund in 2010 to provide grants to organizations that work to prevent child abuse and neglect. She previously worked with Standing Together Against Rape, where she was the executive director. As a senator, she has reservations about joining in a coalition with Democrats.
I'm not willing to be part of a coalition that's led by Democrats who I've seen in the past hold up good discussions about the economy or fiscal policy. So as long as we can talk about things and that there are issues that aren't taboo, that aren't off the table, if Alaskans want to talk about the issues, we should be talking about it.
Fairclough says oil taxes must be a part of the discussion in order to work in a coalition. Besides fiscal policy, she says she will continue her efforts to prevent violence against women. In Anchorage, I'm Daisha Eaton.
A number of the members of the Senate Majority Coalition did survive. Republican Liesl McGuire was reelected, and Democrat Hollis French ended the night ahead of Republican challenger Bob Bell by less than 200 votes. That one was a seesaw battle, as was the contest between Democrat Bill Welikowski and Republican former House member Bob Roses. Both were big spending races, and Welikowski was breathing a sigh of relief last night at his victory.
Hardest campaign that I've had. They threw everything at me.
The Senate will get some new faces. Republican Peter Michicki was unopposed in a new district. Republican Mike Dunleavy moves into a new seat in the Palmer area. Anchorage Democrat Berta Gardner prevailed in another open district. House races also sent a number of new faces to Juneau, though some are so close that absentee and question ballots could still change the outcome. For instance, in Southeast, where Democratic newcomer Jonah Christ-Tompkins of Sitka holds a 44-vote lead over incumbent Bill Thomas. Christ-Tompkins says among those votes not yet counted in that contest is his own.
We put a real concerted effort into banking ballots early. I mean, my vote has not yet been counted. It's an early vote. And ditto for probably a majority of the people who are at our little election night party.
Other newcomers in Anchorage, Republican Lance Pruitt defeated Democratic incumbent Pete Peterson. Democratic newcomer Andrew Josephson bested Republican Dick Traney. Democrat Garen Tarr joins the House after coming out ahead of C.N. Stevens. And Democrat Harriet Drummond topped three other candidates for a seat on the West Side. Republicans still held much of their edge in the House, though. Lynn Gaddis comes into a new seat in Mat-Su. Incumbent Charisse Millett fended off a challenge from Democrat Patty Higgins. Republican Gabrielle Ledoux is back in a House seat in Anchorage. And down in Southeast, Republican Peggy Wilson was the easy winner in a district that pitted her against fellow Republican Kyle Johansson. At this point, there is much talk of bipartisanship. Organizing bids for the Senate are already underway, and if they can agree, Republicans could form a majority there without any Democrats. Thought more likely by some analysts is another bipartisan coalition with more Republican leadership than the last one. And last night, Governor Sean Parnell was indicating a willingness to negotiate for a compromise on oil taxes.
If we're going to give tax breaks, then we get something in return. We get additional investment. For example, that's why the companies came forward and said, we'll give $14 billion of new investment if you pass this. That the past legislature didn't buy that. They didn't think that was sufficient or adequate assurance. So the question really is, can we create a system that increases production and creates more opportunity for Alaskans? We're going to work on that. We're going to go back. And my belief is we can be successful at that in 2013. What that looks like and the specifics of that, I think that those details need to be worked out. And some compromises need to be made from my side, from the other side. But bottom line is we've got a new set of faces with a new look and maybe some new ideas. And I'm ready to listen to those ideas.
Yesterday, voters also turned down a constitutional convention, voted to retain all judges, and okayed a $300 million transportation bond issue. I'm Steve Heimel. This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.